Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Sometimes we feel like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again.
From beautiful Huntington Beach, California, on the HealthyLife.net radio network, heard in all 50 states and 135 countries, all positive talk radio all the time. Welcome to all my listeners out there, Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, at caregiverdave.com, along with my lovely co-host, who actually won't be here today because she's boarding a plane and they lost her luggage, and so she's got her own problem. But we are coming to you live and on demand 24/7. On the HealthyLife.net radio network and on numerous syndicated radio podcast networks on 30 global audio video platforms, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Speaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, way too many to mention. And we are indeed proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast on Player FM out of the top 50. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Caregiving can actually be isolating and lonely. Can genuine hospitality help? Annie McCoon grew up in New York, West New York, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She graduated from Dartmouth. Boy, I've got marbles in my mouth here. With a degree in geography and urban studies, she's a wife, mother, grandmother, including international kids and grandkids. Her book, Practicing Hospitality, The Joy and Grace of Loving Strangers, chronicles some of the stories she's experienced by both being a guest in need of the kindness of strangers and host of those who needed hospitality in convenient and inconvenient ways. She's found creative ways to open her door to family, friends, and strangers without having a interest-perfect home or meet home by simply being hospitable. This includes offering hospital care and a recovery room to many. Annie has served on many civic and nonprofit boards and helps run events that have had city, state, and worldwide impact. She finds joy as she walks, travels, gardens, bird watches, and reads and listens for redemption. Yeah. First, I want to thank my last week's guest, Martha Burrich. She's the author of soon-to-be-released Yes, You Can Raise Happy, Responsible Children. Just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on our membership website, caregiverday.com, or any of our other 30 global networks that I mentioned earlier. All right, enough of that. Annie, welcome to the Caregiver Dave Show. We're excited to have you on.
Thank you, Dave. Glad to just an honor to be here. What you do, the light and the hope you bring to so many is such a needed and beautiful thing.
Thank you, and we are honored to have you on as well. Everyone has a story, and everyone's doing something. So I like to ask my guests for the first time, just who is Annie McCoon, and why was she placed on this earth?
Wow. Well, that could take a while. So McCoon is a name I married into. It's Scottish. It rhymes with tune. And it's sort of a beautiful story. It's my husband's name, but we just got back from Scotland, and a very cool clan reunion or family gathering spelled 50 different ways, people from all over the world. But the history of the McCoon clan is that we were cut down, and I won't name the clan who cut us down about 450 years ago.
What does cut down mean?
Well, it means that they take all your land. But basically, the guy who was in charge, the McCoon at the time, was sort of a scoundrel and sort of gambled it away. But our motto is Reboresco, we grow again. And it shows the stump cut down and a branch coming out of it. And, so it's a beautiful thought of how, you know, sometimes as caregivers, I'm just going to use that sometimes you think the tree's growing and you get cut down, and yet, you know, new life comes, and there's growth there. So how I got to be where I am, I grew up in this very loud, boisterous family in Western New York, which is the Buffalo side of things, right on Lake Erie. And no, I don't know your cousins from New York City, because we're about 8 hours away, 450 miles. Most people don't realize New York City is actually that big. And we had open doors. I lived next door to my grandmother and my grandfather. Cousins lived on the other side. More cousins lived on the other opposite side. We had open doors a lot. There were 16 cousins, ages, you know, 1 through 16, that then aged. And the doors were just always open. So I got used to open doors. I got used to the people around me being fairly safe. Everyone a little weird. We're all weird. Some people you like, some people you don't like. And my parents just said, but they are family and you love them. And we all have our quirks. But this sort of enduring sense of you love them like family because they're family and they're yours. After years of practicing hospitality and writing this book last year, I finally realized, which I didn't know, I thought, gosh, I'm writing a book about hospitality. I should find out what the meaning of the word is. And it comes from a Greek compound word, philoxenia, which means to love strangers as family. And so I realized that background of loving family well has helped me to practice hospitality well, and has really been just something that no matter how dark the days, no matter the challenges we've faced, And we faced a lot, and we can get into that as we talk, but we've gone through cancer, we've gone through Alzheimer's, we've gone through hospice, we've gone through illnesses of my own, and, you know, things happen in life.
It sounds so big, but your family is not Irish, is it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I actually am a Boston. My maiden name was Vogt, V-O-G-T, but and my mother's name was Kessler, K-O-E-S, which sounds German, so I always thought part German, part Irish, but you do that DNA thing, and it turns out I'm 93% Irish.
So, no mixed marriage here. You are Irish.
Yeah. Somewhere along those German men loved their Irish women.
And you met and got married in this country?
Yeah. So I met my husband. He actually went to Dartmouth College with me, and he was a year ahead, and we fell in love. He went to medical school. Then we started having children in rapid succession, I say.
He was born here also in this country?
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. So no accent for either one of you.
No, I wish there was. Yeah.
I thought you could say.
Yeah.
So you mentioned about the large family. Is it good most of the time?
Absolutely.
A lot of people think that many of their friends are they're closer with than family. Because sometimes family, they're your family, but sometimes you don't necessarily enjoy being with them the way you are with those who you choose to be your family, and so on. Is that like you, or are Irish people?
Well, in our particular case, I had an incredibly wonderful father who just loved everyone well and made everyone feel loved. And that became a key and a thread that ran through our family, that if you've got someone that starts the loving well, you begin just to see the beauty in the uniqueness of everyone. And you don't have to be best friends all the time, but you learn to ask their story. You learn to, instead of thinking, and I've done this a share, like, oh my gosh, what are they thinking? Because they obviously aren't thinking like me. I've learned that sometimes they've got a really good reason for thinking the way they think. It's a very unique way to look at a situation. It's not the way I look at it, but it doesn't mean I'm right and they're wrong. And that has opened some doors and made way for forgiveness within family. You know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to let the judgments go, let the love increase, and, you know, get through life with a few more supports instead of a few less.
Was your father born in Ireland or no?
No. So nobody was originally.
No.
I mean, it's way back. It's just that it's, you know, just part of the blood. Who knew?
I'm sure glad that they didn't bring along with them that thing about, you know, Catholics and Irish and, you know, the feud that's been going on in Ireland for.
Oh, they had that. They had that. And I was brought up Catholic and married a Protestant. A little bit until they go, oh my gosh, it's the same God. And they watched our children grow up to know and love God. And it brought some reconciliation and some understanding, and that's a good thing.
So you changed a lot of lives or people's, you know, prejudices or, you know, good for you.
Good for God.
So tell me what you discovered about, you know, the true definition of hospitality. You said that your father kind of taught it to you. I mean, he didn't realize he was teaching it to you. But why do you think people are inhospitable? Because, you know, you either are or aren't. And I don't know why. Do you know why?
Well, I've been doing a lot of research on that. I know my own reasons, often are fear-based and, fear of being judged, fear of being invaded, fear of in my own insecurity that someone does this better, fear of if I cross your threshold, I'm going to have you over to mine. Fear of I don't have enough time, resources or energy. Fear of they're going to sit on my new couch and it won't be completely white anymore, or they're going to track mud on my carpet, or they're going to chip my plate or my table. And those things happen. So you've got to get over those fears, because the connection is more important than the stuff.
How did you get over each of those fears? Because every single one of them must have entered into your mind. And
sure.
How did you get over them? And maybe that can help someone else get over them.
Yeah. So I think that sense of growing up helps, that everything was sort of shared, that nothing was completely ours. And the joy of some togetherness, those that help. You know, as a Christian believer, I believe in stewardship, that we really don't own anything. We're not taking anything to the grave with us. I had the chance to be in Egypt earlier this year. And, you know, these pharaohs brought everything with them. And thinking that the sun was going to come up once it went down, and they might need their boat or their dog or their alligator and their throne, and the stuff is still there. You know, they didn't need it.
There's no U-Haul trailers following up.
That's right. So, you know, we somehow, you know, cherish our stuff so much and forget that the only things we bring to heaven are the people we know. And so it's worth the connection. It's worth working out those relationships. Stuff is stuff. There's capacity. It doesn't mean we don't ever have to have boundaries. It doesn't mean there's not consequences and we don't have to be part of the repair if we're the ones that have broken it. I broke this amazingly beautiful, expensive glass wedding gift that my daughter-in-law, and they were newly married, and I was at their house, and they just had a baby, and I, you know, was taking care of the baby, and I just knocked this thing, and it shattered on the floor, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do? And she got home from work, and I was like, oh, you know, she's going to hate. She said, I am so glad because I knew that thing was going to break someday and I thought it was going to be me. And thank you for doing it. We'll just sweep it up. We're not going to talk about this anymore.
Blame the baby, you know?
Yeah, let's just blame the baby. But it was, again, those moments that we get so nervous about the stuff.
Isn't it based with fear, you know, not being in hospital? Everything of your examples was, I think, the root was fear. Fear of this, fear of that. And COVID didn't help us, did it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, fear of breathing. Fear of, oh, my gosh, you're not 6 feet, you're 5.5 feet. We're probably both going to die. You know, just crazy, crazy fears. Fears of strangers, you know, as kids, like stranger danger, and you go trick or treating, someone's going to put, you know, razor blades in the apples. That was kind of one of the things that when we were kids. And there's discerning, as adults, there's caution. There's some creepy people out there. There's some unsafe people, but the majority of people are just people like you and me in need of connection, Dave. And, so we need to remember the truth and really think about, you know, where is that fear? What started it? Is that valid? Was it valid then? Is it valid now? Can we get past that? Because there's so much joy to get over it and find it in connection.
Yeah, joy is the opposite of fear, right?
Yep.
My audience is full of burned out caregivers. And so you're speaking as a caregiver also, because how's your father?
Well, my father, yeah. So, and it kind of all came at once. My mom had passed away at age 70, which was very young. My dad remarried at 77. To a much younger woman who was only 62, shocking. But they were in love and it was beautiful. And, so here we are. And 3 years later, they had both been widowed. She had, her husband had died even younger than my mom. And they were having this beautiful restorative marriage. And then my dad got Alzheimer's. And pardon me? Well, it was, because he had been just, again, a happy, joyful, loving man, just made life fun for everyone. And then we just started noticing, he's not able to remember numbers. He's calling us and saying, asking the same question over and over again.
How long was that period where you think the symptoms first started? Or you realize that there were symptoms?
Well, it was probably about a year, because, again, by that time, he's living with my stepmom. And, I think there's a lot of denial every time that there's dementia that's happening. And the first response is always just irritation. Come on, I just told you that. Or, no, I didn't take your keys. They're right where you left it. And there's that tendency to go, everything's normal. It's just, you're driving me crazy.
Your stepmom knew before everybody else and for how long?
I'm sure she probably knew.
Him.
Yeah, but she, she just loved him well. And there's a lot of denial, too, that can't really be happening. But, again, my husband's a geriatrician and was able to step in and get some cognitive tests done and said, actually, you know what? That this is happening. And if you know much about the Alzheimer's thing, it's very hard because a lot of times you get diagnosed before you're really bad and it's devastating for the patient. They're scared and they can't help it. These plaques and tangles have formed. They cannot find the words. They cannot find their keys. They don't remember that they asked you that or told you that. They can't store that anymore and they can't recall it anymore. So it's, and they're, at least in my dad's case, he's got all the little, he's trying to do crossword puzzles. He's trying to keep his brain as strong as possible. He's trying the medications. Some work, some don't. Some have side effects, some don't. And there's a really frustrating period in there where the patient themselves often get very angry. It's rough on the spouse. It's rough on the family. And that's just, that's a super difficult period for everybody.
Yeah, there were three people in my life, my mother, my mother-in-law, and my aunt. So is he still with us? Or?
No, he passed away, but we learned something early on that was just key, and I don't know if you had this the same grace to understand this, is just to understand it is not them. This is a disease. Yeah. They are not trying to frustrate you. They have come into a reality that is their only reality. They get out of it if they could, but they can't. And so I learned a term from my husband that was called therapeutic lying. And so when they say, you know, whatever world they're in at the time, or gosh, you know, you took my keys, and you're like, oh, I forgot. You're right. I am so sorry. We'll find them. Or whatever. You enter into their reality because we have that capacity to enter into theirs. They do not have that capacity to enter into ours.
It's so much better when they're not in denial about it, when they don't fight it. Like my mother was very sweet. She had it. My mother-in-law, you know, not so sweet. You know, and the worst came out of her. Same with my aunt.
Yeah.
I think it's better to know in advance, no?
Yeah. Again, depending on how people are wired, what their fear factors are. And it does reduce you to the core. And fortunately for my dad, at his core, he was a really kind person who, you know, his four words were marvelous and I love you and thank you and you're beautiful. And you're like, okay, can we all get reduced to those four words? I don't care.
Listen, we're up on a break. We're actually late for a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and Caregiver Dave.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
we're back on the Caregiver Dave show with my guest, Annie Hugh. And we're talking about, right now we're talking about her father and her father-in-law who came down with cancer.
So my father-in-law actually had a very strong mind, but his body fell apart at the same time that my dad started getting worse. So we had had my dad living with us, with Alzheimer's, and we were waiting for, a unit to open up for him. And if you've gone through that stage, you need to pass certain tests. You have to be able to transfer on your own and those things to be in a memory care unit. So we had them all lined up, and we were on a waiting list, and we finally got the chance. We moved his furniture in, and we were going to move him in on Monday, and he fell and broke his arm. And he was a big man, 220 pounds and 6'4", and he couldn't transfer. The arm wasn't going to heal. And so we ended up having to wait and put him in a long-term care unit, which, again, very difficult family decisions. It's hard, but it helps if you can love each other, give each other grace. It helps when the neighbors come around to drop off a meal or a card or whatever during those times. As soon as my dad moved out, my mother-in-law called from Florida and said, "Your dad's not doing well. I'm getting in a car." We were in Buffalo, New York at the time, and she drove him up, and he had a form of leukemia, and he was clearly dying. He got to the point where he needed transfusions once a week. And she said, "I can't do this alone down in Florida, so I'm bringing him to her house." and we were able,
okay,
as we had a week to change the room around from my dad to my father-in-law coming in, and then realizing that this was going to be long-term, and this was, you know, he ended up passing away.
Did his wife stay, or she left?
Yes, oh no, she stayed. We found another, well, for a while they stayed in the same room, and then it just got too painful for her, so we made another room for her.
Who's going to pay for the, I assume it was an assisted living memory care, yes?
For my dad, yeah.
It was very expensive.
Yes.
You can go on, you know, Medicaid and apply for the assisted living waiver program, which those of you who are interested, you know, look into that.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to do?
We did, and he had good insurance. So
he had long-term care?
He did.
That is so important. Everybody needs to get that. And it's very expensive while you're in your late 40s, early 50s. You know, I'm still paying $130 a month since I was 49. I'm 70 now. But it's so inexpensive. But, you know, it'll pay out $400,000 in a very nice facility. And I couldn't put my aunt in any of the facilities. A lot of facilities don't take Medicare. They don't take Medicaid. And, you know, it's all private pay. And we're talking $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month rent.
Yeah.
Even more for the nice places. And who doesn't want to be in a nice place, you know?
Well, and it gets hard because then if you have to look for one that you can afford, sometimes they are 40, 50 minutes, an hour, they keep getting farther away, and that becomes something to factor in and definitely makes life very difficult. So those of you in that situation, please know that we see you, we hurt for you. We know that's a really, really difficult situation.
So Alzheimer's, dementia, it's all bad because we have a tendency, and I'm the caregiver's caregiver. I fell into this trap of, you know, taking things personal, letting your feelings get hurt, you know, disagreeing with them. No, that didn't happen. This is what happened. What are your observations of those?
Right. Yeah. So you don't disagree. You know, if you get to that point, honestly, where you just agree with them, because then you are their ally, and they need allies to let the anger out.
Yeah, they're always making a list of friends and enemies, and you don't want to be on that.
No, because
a lot of people on that list.
That there are, and can you imagine just how scary that would be? All of a sudden, nobody needs you. Nobody sides with you. With Alzheimer's, it's very scary if you think of yourself being that patient where nobody believes you. Everybody is angry with you, and nobody believes the you know, your sense of reality. And so the best thing caregivers can do is surround themselves with the yes people. And you just let the Alzheimer's patient live in their reality, and you just agree with them. You become their ally in this world that they've had to enter. And all of a sudden, you know, they will be nicer to you because they can trust you.
Yes.
And that's important. So you don't take it personally. You just say, there is a disease that is co-opting this person I knew and loved and co-opting their mind. There's a disease there, but I am going to love what I knew of this person. I'm going to connect with that. And for now, we're going to enter into that alternate reality, and I'm going there with them. I thank goodness I don't have to be there all the time, but that's where they are. And music is unbelievably helpful. Did you find that with your aunt? And
yes, yeah, on the headphones and on their favorite music when they were, you know, dating.
Exactly, the music from their 20s, 30s, 40s. It's that brings them back to something that they can remember, and it's soothing and it's beautiful. So if you haven't done that, if you've got an Alzheimer's patient, please tune that in. Old movies, you know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, or whatever was what they loved. And, you know, I guess we're getting older now. So that was with my dad. I was in his care facility, and I hear this, like, really loud, like, metal band going, and it was a man who was kind of ahead of his time and loved that kind of music. And so his kids had brought that in, like heavy metal. But it, you know, it was like, okay, you know, if that's bringing him joy, and it was, you're like, okay, this is great. But figure out what that was, especially 20s, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
Pipe that in, really important, and it just gives them some happy moments.
Hey, we're on another break, so we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you, or realizing and using the power of momentum, or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now. Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
And we're back with Caregiver Dave Show. I'm Dave Massani. My guest, Annie McCoon. And talking about dementia and Alzheimer's and how you can get away. Did you ever get burned out being a caregiver? You had help?
Well, I had help, but I was part of the main team for both my dad and my father-in-law. And then we eventually, like I said, we brought in the hospice team to our house. And then you're kind of running a three-ring circus. I had young adults in the house. I had my mother-in-law that was grieving in her own way. She was healthy but just could not face this man that she had loved for 65 years, what was going to leave her. And, you know, I've got my own dad now in the long-term care, and I'm juggling things with my sisters. And it was really hard. And then one of my kids got diagnosed with cancer, and another one. And it was like, all right, we're, you know, people hadn't seen me in a while at the grocery store. How are you? I'm just like, don't ask that question. And just the flood of tears, like, we are going. Just burnout. And it just happens. I think it happens to all of us. And at some point, but we had beautiful support systems.
Well, and tell us about how opening your door can relieve the stress.
Exactly. So
most people are inclined to do the opposite when they're in that state of mind.
That's right. You have to acknowledge you need help. You need to know that there are other people, that you're not carrying this all on your own. And so whether it's church or cousins or neighbors, when they say, is there anything I can do, instead of going, no, I'm fine, say, absolutely, and name whatever comes to mind. Bring me dinner tomorrow. They might not want to offer me, you know, but you're like, okay, I'll get a dinner somewhere out of this. Just say yes. Not, you know, you still have to have some control, because that's the hardest part about being a caregiver. So little is in your control. You know, use a little control, but use all the help you can get. You know, call on the sibling who hasn't been available. In my case, it was a brother who said, oh, sorry, I'm moving to Argentina for 2 years. You're kidding me. Like, do you know Dad has Alzheimer's? Oh, really? It's Alzheimer's? I thought it was just dementia. I'm like, okay, you know, okay, I'm going to forgive my brother. I'm going to look at his life and realize, okay, maybe he's not the one that's going to leave me now. But when he calls and says, what can I do? Would you come for a week so that I can get away for 2 days or 3 days? Because it'll take you a day or two to bring you up to speed, and then don't call me for at least 48 hours. And my husband and I were able to get away, and it was a beautiful time for both of them. So again, call on the extended relatives. If they say we really want to help, let them help. I had a cousin who was a beautiful piano player. He said, you know, can I come at this point? Now my dad was in a extended care living center. You know, can I come and play piano? And he did, and they brought down lots of patients, and it was just a beautiful moment. Again, I had a friend that was a cello player, and she came in and played cello, and her little girl danced, and you know, just the arts help, the music helps, the meals help. Let people help.
Usually Alzheimer's patients and dementia people, word puzzles really help, but you actually started doing it.
yeah, they get to a point where, you know, but they're working on them. But my sisters, I had never like had the patience to do a crossword puzzle, and I didn't know that there's all these secrets that they don't tell you unless you become a crossword puzzle person. Like it can be two words, or you know, there's all these secret things, and there's a few words that are always going to show up. The Japanese sash, you know what an obi is. It's going to show up in like every other crossword puzzle. But my sisters and I, we'd alternate days and nights, sometimes with my dad, and somebody would start the puzzle, but you were never allowed to finish the puzzle by yourself. You'd have to wait for someone else to come in. And And even that was just such a lovely symbolic thing of going, we can't figure this out by ourselves, but we'll have help and we'll have fun. And it just, you know, to this day, I love doing crossword puzzles because it was actually a sweet memory of those days.
We were up on our last break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Hey, welcome back to the Caregiver Dave Show with my guest, Annie McCoon. Yeah, so you did get burned out. Crossword puzzles helped you. But you also have lupus? Oh, my gosh. When did that? You know, they say that 30% of caregivers will die before their loved ones do, and many more will become sicker than their loved ones, eventually needing a caregiver of their own. So did you feel like this was kind of happening to you?
No, I got diagnosed with lupus when I was pregnant with my fourth child, and then a lot of other things that I had been experiencing over the last 7 years started making sense. It was like, okay, yeah. So, and it just means that I get tired. I have the long, achy life kind, and so I do get fatigued. And so taking naps was really, really important, and I would have to just, like, call in help and go take a nap. Sometimes you just push through a little bit, but you do have to take care of yourself. And
how are you today?
I'm old and achy. I've lived a long, achy life. It's great.
Are you old? I'm 70.
I am. I'm 67, so...
Yeah.
So,
right now, right?
I'm doing fine. I've got arthritis. But I've got a lot of joy and a lot of, I found grace. And if just to revert back to the hospitality thing, the joy of loving strangers. And I see that in both Alzheimer's and in hospice. All of a sudden you're loving somebody that you thought you knew, but they're a stranger. If you can love them like the family member they were before they got that, and just learn about it, listen to them, see them, enter in the hospice part. Again, it's people are entering into strange new territory when they realize they're going to die. And it's strange new territory for the spouse. It's strange new territory for a lot of the relatives. And so treat it as a, but we're going to love you like family through this. And I found that there is just the follows you need. There is grace. There is joy. If you feel that comfort, and again, I know not everyone has, family wasn't like that for them, but I think it can, you know, start a new generation where it can be like that, or find the friends where they can teach you what that's like.
Does faith help?
Absolutely. I don't know where you came on that, but
I have very strong faith. Couldn't make it without it.
I honestly don't know how people can make it a day without it. It is to be reminded of the Psalms and the reminder of God's presence, that we are never alone. Like you said, the loneliness, the isolation, and just to recognize God shows up every day to help you. He's not afraid of any of the germs. He is just there when you think no one understands. God really does understand. He cries for us in our pain. He knows what it's like to be short of breath. He knows what it's like to really ache and to be alone and vulnerable. And so scripture and just be reminding of the happy truths. I have a very good friend who's Jill Kelly. Her son, Hunter, died at age 8. Football player Jim Kelly, I don't know if you know, really good friend of mine, 3 doors down, and we just prayed with her through those years and encouraged each other with scripture. And I was so shocked to hear her later say, you know, as hard as it was, I would not have traded those days for anything else. I learned so much about God. I learned so much about his love, and I know in the end it was worth it.
How does your husband get involved, if does or doesn't?
Oh, well, the poor guy, being a geriatrician, he was trained as a family physician, and he is a faithful guy, and he is just awesome. We prayed together.
Times, I'm assuming.
Pardon me, I missed whatever.
Into your rescue many times.
Oh, absolutely. Because kind of the irony of the whole thing with his dad dying of hospice was that my husband was actually taking his hospice boards during that same 4-month period, which required him to come home from the office practice and study for 3 to 4 hours a night. And he had like taken on this thing to take the boards at the end of September, and his dad arrived in June, and he had become, you know, entered in this routine where, I mean, he literally was not around. And I kind of mentioned to him, I said, your dad's actually dying, you know, and he's like, oh no, he can't be. Again, some denial, because it's like, wait, there's nothing he could do to change his schedule. And his father actually ended up passing away about 4 weeks after he took the boards, which he passed, but it was so sad that I got to have that time with his dad and his mom, and he really didn't. And yet we were a team. And
will you be writing a book?
Well, I wrote a book called Practicing Hospitality, The Joy and Grace of Loving Strangers. There is a chapter about the hospice care and the Alzheimer's in there. But who knows?
That book and what will they get out of it?
I hope that they would find hope that that there's a God who loved us when we were strangers and continues to love us no matter how strange the circumstance we're in, and begin to open up their heart. It does get scared, and then it gets very vulnerable to begin opening it up again. But I just really hope that anyone who's really feeling isolated knows, as you said, that it's going to affect your own health, your own spiritual, mental, physical health if you stay isolated and alone. And the Surgeon General came out with this huge report because he had started feeling lost and alone. And they've got a lot of remedies, but basically it's find the connection, begin to open up, connect with someone, and get started.
Yeah, it's so important. I can't believe how fast our time is going today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How can our listeners reach you if they have questions or want to buy the book?
Wow. Well, I have a website called anniebooks.com. The book's available on Amazon and through Barnes & Noble. And, again, called Practicing Hospitality, The Joy and Grace of Loving Strangers. And, email me, avmccune@gmail.com.
And, again, a reminder that all our live shows become recorded, pod, and videocasts on all our platforms, as mentioned before. And my membership website, caregiverdave.com, is a free membership support community, along with our Facebook page, Caregiver Dave. Lots of free gifts, resources, including a free initial coaching session. Please take advantage of that. And please click the like or follow button on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this on. It helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithms. So, again, thank you for coming on the show. And to all my listeners, thank you again for tuning in each and every week, making us the number one caregiver podcast on the Internet. So until next week, same time, same channel. May God bless you, bless you all. Bye-bye. And thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave Nassany, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too, Thrive to Stay Alive as a Caregiver. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. He now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his amazing caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first, before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too, Thrive and Stay Alive as a Caregiver, will help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today or buy one for your special caregiver on sale everywhere and at caregiverdave.com.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing.